internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Life is just a game. Win or lose.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show, where we redefine the elite athlete by bringing education, athleticism, and community service together. We bring fun back to sports and try to make it part of family entertainment. We lay the foundation for excellent athletes, and we try to help parents out there navigate the challenges of playing sports from high school, college, to the pros. My name is Ida Moye. I'm your host tonight, and welcome to our show. Today's show is going to be about basically sports injury. And of course, it's not uncommon for you to pick up the newspaper and to find out that after a very major game that someone's been injured. Well, one of the ancillary issues to sports injury is when does a person take protection against those sports injuries? And I believe that it begins in college. So our question today is, when should a sports parent contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for their college athlete? Now, a lot of parents don't understand that, in fact, this benefit is available in college. And, of course, more of your Division I schools will have this available versus, say, a Division III school. But the key thing is that a lot of it can be based on the parent's ability to pay or their ability to finance it, because it's not free. So what we're going to do is, we think first, before we get into that, I want to introduce you to one of our first panel members. And again, let me actually introduce Dr. Ashwin Roy. Doctor, welcome to our show.
Hello.
Well, Doctor, tell us a little bit about what is a sports injury.
So, you know, I would define a sports injury as event that is injurious that takes place either during practice or on the field of competition, and that can mean a lot of different things, and it really depends on the type of sport that's being participated in by the athlete. But essentially, you know, the typical injury that you may have off the field, but actually occurring either during practice or during competition.
Let's start at high school, and usually there's some injuries there. But they don't really become that pronounced until college. Talk about high school injuries.
So, you know, once again, it depends on the sport that's being practiced or played. I think of sports in sort of several groupings. You know, there are the contact sports like football, wrestling, soccer, where there's actually contact between players. And then there's endurance sports such as running. And then there are also throwing sports, baseball, softball, and each of those sports has their own types of injuries. You know, common, you know, when you think about high school sports, I'm involved in high school football coverage, and a lot of injuries occur there, like ankle injuries, knee injuries, like ACL tears that you hear about, and things like concussions and spinal cord injuries, which have been brought to light recently with Kevin Everett's injury. So a wide variety of injuries, depending on the sports that you play. I can define injuries as more acute, things that happen after a specific event, or injuries that occur after an accumulation of events, like a stress fracture that occurs from excessive running or excessive force from pounding repetitively.
Okay. Now, what defines an athlete from college, from high school to college, is his eliteness, whether or not he can go to the next level. So if a parent is asking you this question, what should I do to make sure my actual athlete is prepared for the next level? What kind of things can a parent be doing, even at the high school level?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be, you know, the most important, I guess, event is for the parent to make sure that that there's son or daughter is prepared to play that sport. Part of that, from a medical standpoint, is having a pre-participation physical examination. It's during those examinations that we, as doctors, try to prevent athletes from running into problems such as overuse injuries, such as issues with cardiovascular status and whether they're actually safe from a standpoint of their heart to play in the first place, and to try to provide some guidance as to how to protect them from having injuries when they actually decide to begin competing. And so I think that that's the first major step, is to have an athlete undergo a pre-participation physical or sports physical examination.
Now, one of the things I've seen, and this is my years of being around the sports arena, is that a lot of kids come from high school, and they usually play numerous sports. I mean, basketball, football, track, baseball. And they generally decide towards their junior and senior year that they're actually going to go on to a particular sport or going to dominate a particular sport. But oftentimes, each one of those particular sports have their own type of injury that one can actually, experience. What I'm so concerned about out there is that a lot of times high school coaches don't know the extent of working a student athlete in four or five different sports. And so when they get to college, they tend to have pronounced injuries. So what can a student athlete do out there if they're looking at a particular sport, just to make sure they don't overuse their muscles or overshoot, their throwing arm? Or, I mean, what can they be doing? What kind of things, signs to, say, a student athlete or to a parent that they should be watching for?
Well, one of the things that at least schools in the Seattle area have been employing are athletic trainers. And if a high school is has an athletic trainer available to their athletes, then certainly having the athlete, a parent, son, or daughter, have frequent contact or interaction with that athletic trainer to establish a rapport with them so they can come to trust that trainer. Because a trainer is a good first step to, taking care, first treating that injury, as well as being aware when things become problematic on a longer term. The idea is that we want to try to encourage athletes to participate in sports in a healthful manner. But as you said, over time and with frequency and the number of sports that a player is participating in, they're at increased risk for injuring themselves. So having that first step in interaction with somebody who has some medical training and who has training particularly in musculoskeletal issues is a good place to start in terms of trying to prevent things from happening before they get started really affecting other sports.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense out there, parents. So, again, just don't overlook the fact that your kid is very athletic and overlook the fact he could be experiencing certain type of injuries by overstressing his body, that, in fact, you really should make sure that he's physically able to compete in those different areas. Now, we know modern sports today, if a person shows eliteness, they tend to give you all the services that you need. But in some maybe private schools or maybe even smaller rural schools, this may not be available. So you want to stay in touch with your sports department. If they got a trainer in there, get with them, talk with them, and make sure you're on top of your kids' health needs there. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit here, because I can see that, you're now the new fellow there at University of Washington. Congratulations.
Well, appreciate it. Thanks.
And I do know that the program is rated top 25 in the country. So you're in a great program. And you came from Case Western, I understand. That's where you went to medical school.
Yep.
And then did your residency there at University of Washington. When we talk about running injuries and impact injuries, define the two of those, because obviously there's different things that could happen on the impact and different things that can happen on the running situation.
Yeah, I sort of define those more specifically as acute injuries that occur in a particular moment. For example, if somebody is even running and twists their ankle, or somebody is running while competing in football or soccer, runs into somebody else and suffers a concussion. That's an event where an athlete is essentially healthy, or at least hopefully healthy, before the event. Then they have an event, and then they're injured. On the flip side is somebody who is, for example, a long-distance runner, a cross-country athlete, who is running every day and then starts developing some pain in their leg or in their knee. And there's no specific injurious event, not one sort of landmark event, but rather an accumulation of events that occurs to cause an injury to kind of manifest itself and for them to sort of begin having a limitation in their ability to perform that activity.
Now, you mentioned skeletal injuries, and we also talked about brain injuries.
Yeah.
Now, how common from high school to college do you see skeletal injuries versus brain injuries?
I would say that, they're all relatively common, and it varies based on sport. One thing I have noticed in covering high school football is that it's very important for coaches to be aware how to train their players to make a tackle, for example. If kids are not properly tackling, they put themselves at much higher risk of both spinal cord and head injuries. And so there should be some training on the part of the coaches as to how to properly instruct their players to tackle. So actually in the college arena where, you're at a higher level of competition and skill, players tend to tackle better or be tackled better and learn how to sort of get out of those situations that could compromise their health and are less prone to concussion for that reason. However, because they are participating in college-level athletes where people hit harder, at least in the case of traumatic brain injury or concussion, they just get more hits, and so that those types of issues kind of even out. But from what I've seen, some of the most devastating injuries, at least from a concussion or traumatic spinal cord injury, I've seen actually occur in the high school arena with kids who are not tackling properly. So that's one of those places where you can really make a difference is to have coaches properly instruct their players how to tackle.
Okay, so what we're saying here is that, believe it or not, when you move to the next level, you probably get better assistance, better care, but at the same time, we should be cognizant of what's happening at the high school level parents, because that's usually an area that is overlooked because of resources or because of the fact that just knowledge. And I think Dr. Roy has been giving us a lot of advice here and things to look for. We're going to go into a break, and we'll be back with our rest of our panel here. Again, this is Ida Moye, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, and we're talking about when should a sports parent contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for their college athlete. We'll be back in three.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Get ready as Bobby Miner and Valeria Ochoa take you inside Junior Golf, only on the Voice America Network. Each week, Bobby and Valeria will talk about what's happening in the world of competitive junior golf. They will cover everything that you need to know, from what tours to play to planning your schedule. Broadcasting live on Voice America's premier sports channel, Inside Junior Golf, airs every Friday at 12 o'clock noon Pacific time. Inside Junior Golf.
From the Super Bowl to the World Cup and every major sporting event in between, Front Row with sports travel insider Robert Tuchman will take you on a private ride into the exclusive world of high-end sports travel. Tune in every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern as Robert interviews key event organizers as well as star athletes and celebrities who attend these events. That's Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We just say it like it is.
And you can too.
Internet Sports Talk Radio.
The Voice of America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. This is Ida Moye, your host. And you are listening to the Sports Mavericks Show. We have been graced tonight with an outstanding panel talking about sports injuries, both at high school, college, and the pros. And Dr. Ashwin Roy has been here with us talking about various different injuries at the high school level and pointed out some very good things about parents that you want to be aware of the fact that you do have trainers at some of your high schools that can actually inform you more of your children's needs at the high school level. We also have another panel member, Dr. Robert Chavoy. He's from Brown University Sports Medicine, and I want to welcome Dr. Chavoy to the show.
Thank you very much.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming with us and joining our panel here. You've probably been listening to some of the things we've been talking about sports injury. Let's talk a little bit about different sports. What do you typically see with tennis and golf, for instance?
Well, tennis and golf, you know, tend to be more upper extremity injuries, and they tend to be injuries that are a result of overplaying, using the same muscles, making the same motions repetitively. So you're not going to see the sudden impact injuries that you're going to see in your contact or collision sports. You're going to see people slowly develop symptoms over a period of time as they tend to play more and more and more.
Now, a golfer tends to have, it's the hands, they have no knee injuries, but you do, I mean, Tiger had a knee injury because he actually had operation on his knees.
Yes.
So is that more of just overuse of the knees or?
Well, it can be. You know, someone like Tiger's a pretty athletic guy and he trains fairly hard and does a lot of different cross training to, you know, improve his golf game. So a lot of these athletes can get injured just as much during their training for golf in other type of activities, and that's going to impact them also. So even though they're a golfer, they may train in ways that are somewhat, you know, away from their golf game.
Okay, and then we hear here that, in fact, even dancing, I mean, the actual competitive dancing can actually cause a lot of different sports injuries. A lot of people don't think of dancing, but dancing could actually cause sports injuries as well.
True. Dancing, cheerleading, you know, a lot of activities like that, they're very stressful, and those artists are very athletic also, and they're just as prone to injury.
Okay. Now, what I want to do is that our parents out there listening, and our sports question this week was, when should I, as a sports parent, contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for my college athlete? And that was a question that the parent put to us and asked us to try to answer that this week. So looking at the college side of it, where do you see where there should be notification of this? Because we know when you're in your first year, you may play or you may not play, but there is risk by even in practice, like you said as well. But not everyone will be eligible for this. This is going to be your world-class athlete. So when would you think the window would be open for that?
Well, I think you have to look for, I mean, you have to be somewhat realistic. You have to realize that your child does have a potential to, use their athletic talents to earn an income. And when that becomes a reality, as soon as that becomes, you know, feasible, then I think you should look into the possibility that, you know, an injury could close that window and therefore disability insurance becomes feasible. And, you know, you can always, you know, investigate as to whether your student athlete is insurable. And then, you know, depending on what the expense of that is, you can decide if that's the right thing for you to do. But I think as soon as it becomes, you know, readily apparent that your student athlete has the opportunity to earn an income or go beyond in their sport, I would look into it.
Okay. Now, I just read a study that in the college level that over 40% of the players play without any kind of disability insurance. And we know the sports is a big business. And I think sports like, you know, basketball, which is still, most people don't realize it is an impact sport, because there is a lot of impact in playing basketball. Of course, football is considered as one of the gladiator sports, and it's always a lot of impact on that. So we think that your advice is very true, that when it looks like that they're going to be looking like an elite athlete, now we define an elite athlete as someone who has the ability to go to the next level. How would you define an elite athlete? And I'll let both of you chime in on that. Dr. Chavoy, what would you say is considered as an elite athlete?
Well, I think from the purpose of where we're talking about disability and disability insurance, I think as soon as it becomes apparent that you have an opportunity to earn an income from your sport, then that puts you in an elite category.
Okay. And Dr. Rao, what would you say in that respect?
Yeah, I essentially would second what Dr. Chavoy is saying. I think that, as he has already stated, that essentially if an athlete is capable of producing results that are at the highest level for his field or her field, and the secondary outcome could potentially be a career out of that beyond the collegiate level, then that athlete should be considering getting insurance to protect them against injury.
Okay, now we hear, and thank you both for that, and parents, if you're out there, you're listening, you know, in between the cheers and all the celebration, you need to take a note that, in fact, that when it begins apparent that he's in the news, the scouts are looking at him, this may be the most important decision that you make is to contact your sports administrator and talk about disability insurance. I want to just go back to something else that you were talking about here, and I want to just talk about basically we have a lot of athletes that will do independent training on their own, and they will not, they'll because they want to get ahead of the competition, and they tend to you know, work on their own a lot. Now, one of the things I heard is that is there a sort of a I know there's a controversy between whether or not a chiropractor should be used on a regular basis for these guys versus using someone who's in orthopedics. And I'm thinking that I've heard that there is, that's a controversy, but obviously the distinction between the two is obviously, it's obvious in that respect. But I understand at the professional level, people have personal people that they use on a regular basis. But how could that be, I mean, can you miss an injury that way in that respect? Because people think that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, that's a bit of a tricky question. I think that oftentimes athletes, at least at the pro level, you know, you hear a lot about a guy like James Andrews out in Alabama that that athletes will go seek in the case of injury because he's an expert in his field in dealing with elbow injuries and knee injuries, and athletes will seek him out, or teams will seek him out when they want the sort of the most expert opinion. In that case, the individual's already been injured and is going to see that person because of the injury. Now, in the case of training and having a training set up with a medical provider or some form of trainer, I think that there is a potential for further injury, or if the depending on how regulated that setting is. And I think a lot of elite athletes and Olympians will seek the care of trainers or personal physicians, and it's unclear at this time to me, because I've not been involved in that setting, whether or how regulated those particular healthcare institutions or.
And Dr. Chavoy, you chime in if you can here. How do you pick a good trainer, for instance? What are you looking for?
I think that's a great question, because there are many, many trainers and professionals that are looking to participate with someone that has the potential to be an elite athlete. And the same regulation that exists for medical personnel does not exist for people in the training community. There is a lot of secondary gain on the part of the trainer to be associated and affiliated with elite athletes. So I think that parents particularly should have a great deal of interest in making sure that they're associated with the right person, and should really have concerns about the credentials of these people. There are numerous institutions or numerous accreditations that these people can have. I think the most reliable associations there would be the National Strength and Conditioning Association or the American College of Sports Medicine. Those are the two most reliable accreditations that trainers can have. Again, there's great variety in the background and experience of these people, and unfortunately, getting, you know, the right advice from a trainer that's going to see you regularly can be critical to the results that you're going to get.
Excellent. Well, we're going to hear again. We're going to take another break here. This is quite an exciting panel, and we want to just basically move here to our next break here. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, and we're talking about sports injuries. We just actually asked a very pertinent question, is how do you pick a trainer? And Dr. Savoy was very good to give us some tips and talked about the National Strength and Conditioning Group as well as National Association of Sports Medicine. So we'll be back in three. We'll talk more about this. And this is Ida Moye, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PRO-READYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Get ready as Bobby Miner and Valeria Ochoa take you inside Junior Golf, only on the Voice America Network. Each week, Bobby and Valeria will talk about what's happening in the world of competitive junior golf. They will cover everything that you need to know, from what tours to play to planning your schedule. Broadcasting live on Voice America's premier sports channel, Inside Junior Golf, airs every Friday at 12 o'clock noon Pacific time. Inside Junior Golf.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moye, and we are talking about sports injuries. And our question of the week is, when should a sports parent contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for their college athlete? And we, again, parents out there, we've talked about at the high school level, sometimes kids can overtrain there, so you want to make sure that there's a trainer there, that you talk to them, you know, the condition that your son or daughter is in, and make sure they're prepared to go to the next level. And at that point in time, when it looks like that they have the ability to go to the next level, then we want to consider the prevention of injury. And so sometimes it will require you staying on top of any injuries that your athletes have. Now, we have on our other panel here, which is Ashley Bowman. And Ashley, I believe, is here with us. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ida. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Ashley, again, you always have graced our show and talked about these various different benefits at the college level. You're with the University of Florida, and you've worked with the Compliance Department, and have had a very good experience in working with parents in terms of crossing this threshold. And you've heard from our doctors here, sometimes people can actually get with the wrong trainers. They can also be overused in high school. What's been your experience?
Well, we try to have meetings with the football parents before the season and before games, and we talk about different subjects, and this is one of them, is about disability insurance and when that their son or whoever will be able to be picked for disability insurance. And, of course, you know, everyone, when they get there, they want to have the disability insurance right away. And we try to tell them, or if they go through the NCAA program, the National Collegiate Athletic Association does have a program that can provide disability insurance for our student athletes. To be able to qualify for that program, you have to be drafted within the first three rounds of the NFL draft.
So that is actually the potential of being drafted, correct?
Yes, it's based
okay.
on being
so
drafted.
So from the football side, it's usually when you have the potential. So how do you find out if you have the potential?
Well, I'm in constant contact with the disability insurance company, and whether if I email them and ask about certain athletes, let's say in the sport of football, usually know who the top guys are, or they will email me and let me know who can be covered.
Okay. So, again, is it a subjective thing, or have they worked with scouts to find out, or what exactly is it that is the defining, thing here?
Well, what they need to do first is they need to complete a one-page application, and once I send that in, the insurance company forwards it to the NCAA asking them to provide a combine evaluation on that student-athlete. And then they seek out a consensus from a couple of scouts and scouting agencies for an evaluation on that player. And then it's internally generated a grade on that player from their people. And then they let us know, one, if the player qualifies, and two, if he does, where that projection falls based on the rounds 1 through 3. And if the NCAA can cover that student-athlete, the limit in football through the NCAA program is $3 million. So the limit corresponds to the attached projection. So $3 million will be for a high first-round projection down to $500,000 for a low-round third projection.
Okay, so let's just back up a little bit. What student qualifies? Is a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, or senior?
So we've had sophomores. Typically a freshman, they are coming in and they're either redshirted, so they haven't played. So those scouts, they don't have an evaluation on those players. Typically if the player comes in and they start playing when they're a freshman and then they go and play when they're a sophomore, we've had several sophomores in the past that have qualified for the insurance. And you have to realize, like, to be able to go in an NFL draft, you have to be 3 years removed out of high school.
So, in other words, if the high school student, I mean the actual freshman that is playing or the sophomore is playing, if they don't have that potential, they basically do not qualify.
That's correct. And
okay.
That season
so
goes
what
on, you
actually could... is available to them if there is a career-ending injury, for instance?
I'll typically, in the beginning of the season, email and see if they're qualified, and then after like a game or two, email them again, or they email me back. So just because someone doesn't qualify during the beginning of the season does not mean they can't get it during the season.
Okay. Is the criteria really, really strict? Because I'm just wondering, I mean, because I read that only about maybe 40% are covered in through our college, you know, that they qualify based on that criteria. Is that pretty much what you're seeing?
You know, being at the University of Florida, of course we have great athletes. So within the past couple of years, we had quite a bit of athletes that were covered. And so, again, if they're projected to go within the first three rounds of a draft, then that would qualify them to have insurance if they have that potential.
Okay.
To go on to the next level.
Okay, so what you're saying here is that what should parents be doing? Because a parent sometimes doesn't even know this is available to them. But you're saying if they attend the parent meeting, then they'll know. So at any school that has a parent meeting, it would be important to get that. But what other department should a parent seek out if they don't have a parent situation where they can attend?
If we're talking in the sport of football, I would either contact the head coach in football or their own compliance office, or even the athletic director's office. Some out of one of those three, someone should know about the disability insurance program, especially if it's a top Division I school. Now, or they could directly contact the NCAA, and they could help them out.
Now, what if a parent finds out that their kid doesn't qualify through the normal channel? What else can they do?
Well, just because they don't qualify through the NCAA does not mean that they cannot get disability insurance. And, of course, this has happened in our program. There are outside entities that they can look into of other people that do provide disability insurance. But if they go that route, they need to watch out, because typically it's a lot more expensive, because the NCAA is not looking to make money off of these student-athletes. The people on the outside entities, this is what they do for a living. So it will be more expensive. And two, you have to worry about their eligibility. It could be affected because the loan that the parents are given, when it's done through the NCAA, it's done through U.S. Bank, and it's furnished and it's above board, and we know that won't affect our student-athlete's eligibility. When you go outside, you don't know who's paying for that loan. And if it is done outside, the university has to have a copy of that disability insurance policy on hand.
So it gets pretty complicated, then, is what you're saying.
It does.
And so obviously you have to, again, work through the NCAA's program. Now, obviously, to be able to qualify, you got to be an elite athlete.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It really, this is when responsibility comes back to that athlete to perform at its highest level to actually be able to even qualify for those type of benefits as well. So that has to come into the play here as well. And obviously that means that they have to bring their game to the table, is what they have to do, and to be notified or even to even qualify for that in that respect. Now, based on your past experience, how much of this disability insurance has ever been used?
We have had a player in the past that did have $1 million policy, and I believe it was his senior season, and he had a devastating knee injury where he tore his ACL, MCL, just about everything in his knee, and it was career-ending, and this is what this NCAA policy is. It has to be career-ending where they will never play again, and unfortunately, this student-athlete, that's what happened, and he was able to collect on that policy.
Okay. Now, Dr. Chavoy, you're still with us, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you heard here from Ashley Bowman, who's been with Florida. I think she gave us a great explanation there on as far as football is concerned, because we tend to look at football as being probably one of the most dangerous sports out there in that respect. And, of course, that is, it sounds like a real career injury that would obviously not recover from. What we find is that a lot of times when they do have injuries during college games, we tend to see that they walk off the field, and then all of a sudden they're limping, they come back on, and they're not limping anymore. Or we see them, they have issues regarding nutrition. They look overweight sometimes as well. How much does that contribute to an injury as well?
Well, a lot of times the athlete sacrifices the long-term health or benefit of themselves for the short-term, to get ready for a particular game or to finish out a game or to do react to what's immediately in front of them. So, immediate treatment, going back too soon, changes in weight and things can,
you know, may be helpful in the short term, but in the long-term projection, and that's what you're talking about when you're talking about getting disability insurance, looking out for the future, you know, the athlete has to kind of keep both in perspective.
I would agree with that, absolutely. And so as we begin to look at this phenomenon about disability insurance, of course, you know, it seems like it's a lot of times parents don't understand how important that is to have that. So even when someone qualifies for it, it's a hard decision for a parent to make. But why would that be wrong, Dr. Shavoy? Because if they make the wrong decision, they're actually going to cut off this kid's career if something happens.
Yes, yeah, specifically regarding the insurance?
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, what Ashley was saying is that it's actually a very select group that qualifies. You know, they have to be, you know, in the first three rounds, so that's less than 100 college players in the country that will actually qualify for the insurance. So if you're eligible for that insurance through the NCAA, and, you know, that's an organization that is looking out for the benefit of the student-athlete and his family, that's the best way to go. Once you get out of that domain, then you fall prey to some, you know, less than, you know, potentially some unscrupulous customers.
Well, great. Okay, we're back to our break here, and we're going to continue talking about sports injuries. And our question of the week is, when should a sports parent contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for a college athlete? And as been stated by our panel here, the opportunity is limited, possibly to maybe 100 or so players on a given, you know, team. But at the same time, there are other opportunities that we want to talk about. How do we prevent some of these injuries? We'll be back with our panel again in about three. This is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Leave the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyer. And at this time, why we would like to thank Shelley Coleman for sending in our question of the week. When should a sports parent contact the sports administrator about disability insurance for their college athlete? And we also have had on our panel Ashley Bowman from University of Florida. She is a person in compliance that deal with this issue all the time. And she has been so thankful in terms of giving us information on exactly what a parent can do once their child actually qualifies for it. So you have to actually qualify for it. And I believe, Ashley, you said you have to be at least within the first, second, or third round draft choice potential with the NFL to qualify in football. Is that correct?
That's correct, within the first three rounds of an NFL draft.
Okay, and that's something that usually has to be looked at prior to the time that you actually apply for disability insurance. So you either have to make, you know, get it the information from your carrier, or you actually can petition, I believe, can you petition the NFL to find that information out as well?
You can. There is a form to fill out and typically, if it's for a junior, if a junior is deciding that they might want to leave early, they'll fill out this form, and the NFL will grade them and get back to the student-athlete and the head coach and let them know where they may fall if they decide to leave early.
Now, that's probably more in your junior year, but if you qualify in the sophomore year, then you really want to stay with your sports administrator and find out about whether or not your type of play that you're doing in the level playing is that you could qualify for this. And I believe that a top athlete could get up to as much as $3 million. And that's correct, Ashley.
Yes, that is correct. The NCAA will contact me and tell me how much an athlete can get. The parent or the athlete or I can't say, you know, I want to get this student athlete. I want them to have a $2 million policy. Based on their rating, they set the amount that the athlete can get. And let's say, for instance, they tell an athlete that they can get $500,000 and they have a really good couple of games, then they might come back to me and said, now we can up it to $1 million or $2 million. So it is based on their numbers and not what the parent or the student athlete wants to get.
So I'm assuming that some department of the NCAA that is watching this on a regular basis and making sure that these kids are being protected, or in fact that they protect their potential for the next level, as Dr. Chavoy has said here. Now, Dr. Chavoy, we talked a little bit about how to pick a trainer and the various different organizations that are out there, the National Strength and Conditioning Organization, the National Association, of course, of Sports Medicine. We didn't talk about prevention. So just sort of to our parents out there, for the few minutes we have left, talk a little bit about prevention.
Okay. Well, you know, there are some measures that you can take to prevent an injury. You know, as we're talking about football, which is a high-speed collision game, there are some things that are unpreventable, but things that are within your realm to be so they're preventing is to make sure, number one, that you wear your equipment and wear your equipment properly. There are a lot of modifications made of equipment, or a lot of people, for the sake of their game, may minimize the equipment that they are using. I think that can be a mistake. I think listening to the trainer's advice, you know, teams have regulations as to who gets taped, when, where, and how, and I think you need to, you know, comply with those things that are put ahead of you. The other thing is to stay conditioned and to stay in shape. You're responsible for yourself off the field. Student athletes can help themselves a lot by just eating right, getting the appropriate amount of sleep, staying away from things that are going to take them out of their game, so that when they're on the field, they're really in the best possible condition that they can be. You know, student athletes have a lot of pressures put upon them. They may be tempted to cut corners, not get the amount of sleep that they need, skip meals, maybe, you know, not have their equipment in the best working shape. And these are the little things that you can do that can, you know, diminish the likelihood of you being hurt.
Excellent. Now, we also have a panel member here, Bernie Parrish. Bernie, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. Ida,
Bernie, thank you so much. Bernie actually was with Florida. He was 1958, round 9, pick 108, went to the Cleveland Browns from 1959 to 1966, and then to the Houston Oilers in 1966. Now, Bernie has had a illustrious career in the sports, and then actually Bernie turned around and got involved in an issue that is dear to his heart, and that is the disability situation for the NFL players. Now, of course, after all his wonderful career in NFL, Bernie turned around and had a phenomenal career in the construction industry, building hotels, and he got involved. I guess, Bernie, this became a very important issue to you when you found out that, in fact, that our heroes, some of these players, have actually did not have any type of ability to pay for their disabilities that they apparently had experience in playing the sport of football. Now, Bernie, you are our sports maverick of the week. We pick out a selective person every single week to just recognize them for all the wonderful work that you are have been doing. We know that you single-handedly took the NFL Player Association and to Congress to make them answer this question. What are you doing to help our players? And we wanted to basically recognize you tonight. And I think with Ashley Bowman, you would agree with me that Bernie has is a legend of his own time. And Dr. Chavoy, he has been leading this fight. And I just want to hear from Bernie. Bernie, just tell us where things are right now.
Well, the congressional hearings were about the middle of July, and since then, the House subcommittee, which is chaired by Linda Sanchez, it is under the Judiciary Committee, which is headed by John Conyers, has called a hearing and heard the all of the various problems that we are having with our disability plan. Our disability plan, though, is a little different than what you are talking about with regard to the college athletes. I mean, every athlete should be covered by insurance for injuries at that school, particularly football, as I'm talking about, or don't let your kid on that field. So and there are the doctor from Washington University mentioned that the techniques, the coaching techniques and so forth for tackling in particular can have a great deal to do with reducing the injuries. And I wanted to say something quickly here about I've seen an ad on television by a University of Florida coach telling people how to tackle, and I'm telling the young lady, you need to look into that, because if people tackle the way he's telling them to tackle, they're going to wind up with a lot of neck injuries. I learned how to tackle out of an old Navy fundamentals book on football. And I used that same technique all through college. I mean, all through Little League is where I learned it, and then through high school, then college, then in the pros. And I was voted the best tackler and the best blocker in the Southeastern Conference. Only player who ever played for Florida who was voted both the best tackler and the best blocker in the Southeastern Conference. I also made a living tackling people, so I know what the hell I'm talking about. There's a certain angle that you got to have your head on, and you've got to approach the tackle in a certain way in order for it to be safe. And I'm telling you that ad the other day, if people, I thought it was a joke, and then I saw it a second time. If people tackle the way straight up, running straight into the runner, with your head straight up, you need to look into it.
Okay,
you really
well,
do.
You're
okay,
hearing,
now,
you're hearing
now
from Bernie.
The disability you're talking about is a career-ending injury that will end a player's career before he gets into the professional career. Our disabilities are about the players who get hurt and then usually ends their career, and then they can't work afterwards in a normal manner.
So in other words, a lot of times what you're dealing with is that you're talking about actually being able, the continuum of the actual cycle of the sports and how it affects it. Well, we know that we're going to hear more about this disability thing here. We just want to thank our panel here. Dr. Robert Chavoy, thank you so much for being with us.
You're very
welcome. Ashwin Roy, thank you again. And Ashley Bowman, thank you. And Bernie again, Bernie Parrish is our Sports Maverick of the Week. Continue up the good work, Bernie, and we'll be back if you want to hear more about what's happening with that NFL disability issue, okay? And again, thank you both for being here tonight. This is the Sports Maverick Show, and we're signing off. This is Ademoye, your host. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining Ademoye and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.